This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Now, I've got Sashi Kadapati from Leadonomics here. Now, what we're going to talk about is the mantra of practice, and particularly best practice, is often used to drill into us expected behavior. But often this can backfire in today's constantly evolving world. What we really need is a push to use best practice as merely a start instead of the end. A healthy learning ecosystem is an integral part of making this happen. And our topic actually is when practice makes imperfect, right? So, I guess you can tell us not to practice, Sashi.
No, actually, not quite. I think there's a place for practice, and I can imagine kids everywhere rejoicing at the title of this.
So Uncle Sashi said so.
Exactly. I think all the parents are, I'm sure, forcing them to master some craft at this moment. Mm-hmm. But well, you know, to clarify, practice can make perfect. But I think what we want to talk about is when it's not quite as perfect as it's made out to be.
Okay. So you make them very sad. So what is the problem with practice?
Well, so I think you alluded to it earlier. Practice is about doing something repeatedly again and again, right? And hoping that, you know, you do that perfectly over some time. But what if you're practicing something imperfect, right? And then you wind up doing something imperfect perfectly. So that's obvious. Just going back to a story, you know, I picked up golf a long time ago and you know, I could be pretty consistent with my swing. And then many years later, I got my first golf lesson and the instructor, you know, was trying to correct my swing and just, it was so impossible for me to undo something.
It's just a little bit with the wrist.
Exactly. And there was all these nuance and things like that. But, you know, yet with my imperfect swing, I could hit it pretty consistently, but trying to change that was impossible, practically impossible. And I think it's the same at work. We get into habits, right? So these habits, they're formed out of years of practice, even if it's a bad habit.
Right.
I think you would have heard, I hear this a lot at work where people say, I do my best work at the last minute. When the pressure is on, I do my best work, right? And I'm sure you've encountered that as well. But really, is that really true? Or is that a habit that we've built into ourselves? And we do okay work, meaning we deliver on time, we do good quality work. But really, is it fair to say that I do my best work under pressure?
Yeah.
Probably not. So probably there's a better way of doing it. And we don't try it because we think that that's our best practice. We've gotten used to doing this over and over again and achieving good results. And so we say that's our best practice. But really it's not. It's just a bad habit. And we're hiding behind the word best practice. So a lot of us have these bad habits and it's born out of, you know, doing things over time. And it can be personal, it can be work. I'm sure you have.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like it's also things like, you know, oh, but I've always done it this way. Okay, you know what I mean? So that's that belief that it's the right thing as well. I think one of the things for me was I learned along the way was you know, people saying I'm a night person.
Okay.
Right, and they do their work at night, everything, right? And it was a conscious thing for me to say I'm going to wake up early, start exercising, and I find that this has been great for me. You know, I've got the energy to do more things, but it was a change.
Yeah, exactly. And so. Something told you to break out of that thing that you thought was best practice. Then you found a new best practice that works even better.
Right.
And who knows whether that's even the best practice.
Right. There could be more as well.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, okay.
So taking it back to the workplace, I think one of the things that I see most often is when people move from one organization to another, there's cultural differences, right? And with that, best practices change. You can see this when people move from SMEs to MNCs or different industries. Pulling back from my own experience, I used to work for a manufacturing company. And even though I was a senior manager, the decisions that I had to make, I was kind of required to vet it through with my boss. And there was many reasons for it. I'm not saying it's wrong or right, but my boss needed to make sure that there was not much transparency in a manufacturing environment. So my boss needed to make sure that my decisions didn't conflict with other decisions or other information that was going through. And because it was such a huge matrixed organization.
And it's in a manufacturing space.
Exactly.
That's the industry.
Yeah. So it was kind of different. And then many years later, I moved to an IT industry, high tech industry. And it was the complete different. It was a complete different expectation of me. My bosses expected me to make decisions without telling them because they wanted me to be accountable for every decision I made. So imagine somebody who works in one environment, who's been trained that this was the right way to do it, best practice, so-called, now moves into a different environment, and all of a sudden, you don't know how to work, really, and the expectations are different. And that's where I think these concepts of best practice sometimes fail, right? What works in one context really doesn't work in another. And or just even within a company. I had a conversation with a client a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying how one of his top performers just got promoted and all of a sudden is failing miserably. And so what happened? What caused his drop in productivity? Guess what? He was doing exactly what he was good at previously. He was doing exactly what he's been practicing previously. And it was what people recognized him for and got him promoted.
Right.
But now it's causing him to fail. So again, what he used to do, practice, made him imperfect.
And that sounds common in any promotion scenario, right? I mean, you're going to take on more responsibilities. You know, you can't be the same person and just take on whatever you want and then choose to ignore certain things as well.
Right. And, and like you said, in any promotion scenario, you can't do the same things that you used to do before that got you where you are today.
Right.
In management speak, that's called Peter's Principle, but we won't get into that. But I think the...
Oh, tell me.
Peter's Principle?
Yeah, tell.
Okay.
I've never heard of Peter.
Okay. Well, there's lots of Peters. But this particular Peter talked about a Peter's Principle, which says that you will always rise to the level of your incompetency.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because you get promoted when you're good at something, and then you get to a level, and if you're not promoted anymore, it means you're not good at that level. So you should actually be one level below that.
Ah.
So there's this whole theory around that. But I think what it leads to is that, you know, where learning really needs to focus on these types of transitions of roles, because what happens is you carry with you what you called best practice into a new role or into a new environment, because it's human nature, right? It's what got you where you are. It's what led you to success. So we need a way to break this old way of doing things, to really unlearn, right? And back to the summary that you shared up front when we started the show, best practice should only be a starting point.
Okay.
And it'll be there should be a need to continue to change, right? And from what we've learned so far, I think in our work at Leadernomics, it's best when people inside the company do the teaching. Because the best practices are embedded in the people, in the culture, in the know-how of the company. There's a secret sauce in the company, right? And I think the leaders in that company need to do this teaching of what's best practice. Not because the new people are incompetent or they're incompetent in their new role, but it's because they need to be taught new ways of doing things constantly. And I think learning is where you need to bridge this gap.
Okay.
Most commonly, you know, Peter's Principle is one thing where you see this when people transition roles. But the other most common thing is onboarding. I'm not sure how you do onboarding here at BFM, but like in companies that I come from, you join a company and the first thing they do is HR takes you through the IT systems. This is how you apply for leave. Yes. Click here, click there. This is where the fire exits are. But nobody really talks to you about the really important stuff about doing work. Like, for example, how do you run a meeting? You know, in some companies, they say no PowerPoints allowed in a meeting. Or in other companies, they say you must set an agenda before coming to a meeting. But if you don't know these best practices, how are you going to be effective in your new role or a new job, right? And I think this is where... we have to do a lot about breaking mindsets about best practice. And it's really not about innovating here, right? It's really about recognizing that what got you somewhere isn't what's going to get you somewhere else. Right? It's really recognizing that practice is not always what gets you there.
Okay. So, I mean, this is it's very interesting because, you know, as you're talking about that, and even coming to join this company, you know, back to your example of how I used to work for an MNC, coming to a startup with no processes, you know, that's like, whoa, you know.
Exactly.
We'll just watch and see how it all works out. And also, and onboarding, these are the little things sometimes we forget. It's the softer side, right? So the hard stuff, like, you know, this way you apply for leave and all that, but just little nuances. That will get you to be successful in your new role as well. Okay, we'll continue our conversation about this very interesting his topic of how practice makes imperfect. Sashi Kanapati from Leadernomics. Stay tuned to Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Good morning, Frida Liu here. If you've just joined us, I'm here with Sashi Kanapati from Leadernomics. When practice makes imperfect is our topic. Very interesting because, you know, of course, earlier on you alluded about how, you know, you've been playing golf all this while without a coach. And then you think, you know, you've been doing it right. Then the coach comes and says, no, you're just going to twist your wrist just a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it's all about best practices, right? And within an organization, all that, right? How do we arrive at best practice? And now I remember my point. It's about Kaizen.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Little improvements all the time. You think you've got it perfect, but then it's like, there must be a better... the thinking that there must be a better way of doing it, regardless of how great you think it is.
Absolutely. I think that topic of Kaizen actually answers your question about how do we arrive at best practice, because what does best practice actually mean, right? It's the way that people have discovered which was most efficient and effective to get something done. And they've usually discovered this over time, maybe multiple trials and errors and research. And we all follow best practices because we're advised to follow best practices. But really, what is this? Most best practices are best in a certain situation. So they don't really apply to all situations, right? So why do we assume that they work for all situations? And that's where this concept of Kaizen comes in. So let's pull out some examples. Back during the dot-com era, Google started open offices, right? And it was a very revolutionary concept.
Right.
Flexible working spaces. Yeah. And everybody was saying how awesome it was and how it was the best practice for great performing teams.
Right. It was a free food.
It wasn't the free food. It was the
okay.
mobile workspaces. Right. Uh-huh. It was the rest areas. And lots of companies replicated it. I mean, if you go around today, even in Malaysia, you see a lot of offices with that concept. I'm sure the interior decorating companies made a lot of money in that era. But guess what? Today we realize that open offices are great for collaboration and creativity, but maybe not as good for productivity. The studies have shown that productivity actually drops a little bit. So you need to figure out what's best practice for you. In certain environments, you may need the creativity and therefore that works. But in other environments, you may need more productivity and maybe open offices are not good for you.
Mm.
Or maybe it's for certain roles. So the idea is that best practice is actually a moving target, right?
Mm.
And we shouldn't get stuck in the fact that there is one. It changes based on roles. It changes based on environment. And even if you're in the same role and environment, it changes over time.
Right.
So it's very dangerous to use these kinds of mantras in today's day and age, especially, right? I think we all talk about being agile.
Yeah.
Imagine if Elon Musk stuck to best practices.
Mm.
We wouldn't have the innovation of Tesla or the reusable rockets and things like that. And of course, I have to pull in a basketball analogy. You know, if the current player stuck to the best practice of the 90s basketball, we wouldn't have people like Stephen Curry, who has free license to shoot as soon as he crosses halfway mark, and it's considered a good shot. So the game has evolved, right? Because people are always experimenting and trying to figure out what's the next practice. So I think the key point about best practice is not to use that phrase too much,
right?
And to always look that it's a best practice that's correct within that situation.
Okay, there won't be any World Cup analogies because he doesn't watch football. So we should, of course, always look for new ways of doing things, right? The Kaizen thing. But are you saying that best practices are not valid then?
No, I think that we need to stop thinking of best practice as the best practice. Of course, you can't see my air quotes on radio. But maybe it should be called sometimes good practice.
Okay.
And so best practices are good because you can use them to benchmark, and it's a good way to start getting people to learn quickly because you have a standard. But it's good to accelerate learning internally in an organization. But it's also good to set aside what is the current best known method and try to figure out what is the next known method, right? So always have the mindset that best practices of yesterday are not best practices of today. So my argument is maybe we should call it, instead of best practices, maybe we should call it continuously evolving, sometimes good practices. But I suppose that doesn't sound as catchy as best practices.
So Kaizen sounds more sexy.
Yeah, Kaizen's
right?
pretty good. Kaizen's
right?
a process, though.
Right.
So in terms of what is best practice, Mike Myatt, the author of Hacking Leadership, probably said it best. He said we should use the term next practices. Because that redirects people to be more forward-thinking, right? Because if I say best practice, you kind of take it as gospel and just say, this is it. I should just follow this.
Right.
But if I instead call it next practice, I'm always looking for what's the next practice? What's the next practice?
You know, which is very interesting about how the words we use. And just earlier on, we had Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab, and he was saying that he tells salespeople not to say, I've closed a sale, but I've opened a new relationship.
Yes,
I've opened
that.
A relationship, right? And it was like, yeah, you know, then your thinking is that's not the final destination. This is an ongoing relationship.
Correct.
So it's the words we use also.
It's absolutely right. Mm. In fact, I want to coin a new term, and it's, I think people should then call it almost best practice.
Almost practice.
Because you know what that does? It primes your mind to think that there's one more better.
Right.
So even though you're doing the almost best practice, which is good enough, you're priming your mind to say, hey, wait a minute, there's got to be something better than this.
Okay. So, okay. Next practices, almost best practices. So key takeaways for today.
Okay. So the key really is to foster the culture of unlearning and relearning. Mm. And I think this is a common phrase that's used a lot today is unlearning, right? People should not get anchored by best practices, and you need to continuously look to improve on them. And to do this, you need a way to bring the whole organization along with you, whether that means the learning ecosystem or whether that means you get the people in your company to kind of champion it, to teach the rest. What's the currently known best practice? There needs to be a culture that allows you to experiment and find the next best practice, right? And so it's a big topic, but I think for today, what I really wanted to do is get people to really accept that best practice is a dangerous phrase, and I hear it being used in organizations a lot. Even a few weeks ago, we were talking about how to put up a pitch for an investor, and what do? We go to Google. We Google best investor decks. And we take that as best practice. But what happens is then you're only going to do as good as what somebody else did. You're never going to do better, right? And so it's still good to have best practice as a starting point.
As a starting point and as a base.
Yes.
Right?
And you got to always look for the next. Next practice, almost best practice. And that's where I think we evolve and we're going to continuously evolve, especially in today's day and age. Mm. It's an agile world. And if you keep using the phrases like best practice, you can get stuck. So key takeaways, number one, use best practice as a starting point. Number two, always experiment to test out new practices or next practices. If it helps, change the wording. Don't call it best practice, call it almost best practice. And find a way to capture the learnings as you go along and just repeat and repeat and repeat.
Right. You know, cause, and then just want to, you know, about your point about the best investor decks, right? And then it was just like, I guess one of the things at the end of the day, also when you look at it, say, okay, this is the base. And then after that, what's my flavor to it, right?
Exactly.
I mean, then that's then also, I guess, when you're presenting from your point of view, that's very authentic, it's very genuine. And, you know, you can always improve on top of that.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for being with us. Sashi Kanapati from Leadonomics, when practice makes imperfect. You've been listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.